Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 265 of Her, the podcast where you'll hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her mental health, and her mental health and telehealth. Yeah, things have kind of changed out there. This is going to be a terrific show. Whip out your little pens and pencils and paper because you're going to want to take a lot of notes. Before we begin, just know that this episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. Okie dokie, here's your first reminder to click on iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show because your feedback is so valuable to us. Love to hear from you. And we'll give you another little reminder later on in the show. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about Her.
Raise your hand out there in Her podcast land if you're going out of your collective brains with anxiety, depression, freaking out, angst about all the craziness in the world today, everything from politics to a global pandemic. Oh my gosh, finances. What about our work? And it just goes on and on and on and on. Have you ever thought about getting help for some of this? Maybe talking to someone? How about, doing telehealth? Have you ever done anything like that before? Telehealth. Well, we're going to be talking about that. Really, the thing that got me going was I got a chance to meet the founder of what I consider to be just about the best place to go to be able to access appropriate counseling and therapy. It's called Talkspace. And a lot of you may know about Talkspace because this is the place that Michael Phelps was doing a specific shout out to when he did an ad about really talking about his own depression and anxiety and how important therapy is. And that's why, oh my gosh, I was so excited when I really got closer to understanding what Talkspace was all about. And this is my gift to all of you in the podcast. And that is, you're going to hear about a resource that I think is going to become the place to go and a wonderful support during times of doubt, uncertainty, and fear. So with that, I'm going to be introducing you to Dr. Amy Service. She's Director of Clinical Content at Talkspace, the leading online therapy platform. She's a New York licensed mental health counselor and a New Jersey licensed professional counselor. Her areas of interest include women's health and wellness, young adulthood, relationships, and she's been a contributor to national podcasts and publications. Dr. Service, welcome to the Her podcast.
Thank you so much for that warm welcome, Dr. Peek. It is really lovely to be here with you today.
All right. So am I just imagining things, or are people now seeking out the Talkspace type of support system more now than ever before?
More than ever before. And I think it speaks to what you were just talking about earlier when you were naming what's going on. It seems like that list is endless. It just keeps going. There are so many things going on right now. And when you combine all of the intense emotional, physical, environmental restraints going on, we also have limited access to things that had been traditionally what we thought of as therapy. So we have seen massive growth and influx of new clients. We continue to see that over the course of the month since March. So we are definitely, thankfully, ready for all of those new folks coming in, but also really sensitive to the fact that this is a time of high need. people are really struggling right now. And so we are doing everything we can to make sure and meet those needs to the best of our ability.
Okay, would you just, you know, introduce the whole world to Talkspace? What is this? If someone goes to your website, what are they to expect? What happens? Because I think most people think, okay, I'm going to have to truck on over to a therapist's office, sit on a couch or something, spew my, you know, problems, you know, pay, leave, you know, whatever the issue may be. Can you tell us what the new normal is now with Talkspace?
Yeah, so that new normal is having access to your therapist and that conversation with your therapist from the comfort of your home, from the comfort of a walk, from, you know, sitting down at a computer. So what happens if you say, okay, I am interested, I really need therapy. You're going to go to Talkspace.com and you're going to click on it to say, okay, I'm ready to start. And very quickly, you're going to fill out information and be matched with a consultation therapist who is a licensed therapist, and they're going to review your information because you're going to type it in with what symptoms you're experiencing, as well as what kind of a therapist do I think I might want. Some people really know what they want and some people don't. That's okay too. And you're going to, based on the state that you're residing in, get matched with three therapists that you then also get to choose. So you're going to hear from them a clear video about who they are, what they specialize in, how many years of service they've been working in the field, and you're going to get to choose. If you don't like those first three matches, you're then going to get matched with another therapist. So right there, it's very different. You're not calling, you're not there's no wait time. You're usually matched, we say 48 hours, but it's usually less than that, depending on your area. But you are sort of, all of that paperwork gets eliminated, as well as that sometimes often it's difficult to not only make the appointment and sort through all of that, but now you don't have to drive or sit in a waiting room. You are sitting in the comfort of your own space. And so once you're matched with a therapist, that therapist is going to connect with you, going to talk you through how it works, and really make you feel comfortable so that you can begin that process. And that process is going to look a little bit different depending on the subscription you choose. Some people just choose just to text back and forth within a very secure space. Some people choose live video sessions that are real live video. You're meeting your therapist in real time. There's also subscription services that you can record. All of them actually can record audio and video. And some have a mix between live and text. So we sort of have a large range of services that are available so that it really can fit what is most comfortable for you. And then you're going to message back and forth or send an audio message back and forth to your therapist 5 days a week. And you're creating that intimate space that would normally be seen in an office right within your phone or your computer, and in a really safe way. All of our services are HIPAA compliant and secure, so you know your information is protected as well. I feel like that was a lot of information. Does that, is that all sort of, it's a little bit odd, right? Because it's not, it seems more informal, but you're getting therapists who have been in the field for years and who are also skilled at delivering in this telehealth platform. So it's just a warm environment that feels safe and secure, and also just easy because it's on your time.
Interesting. And, you know, how does Talkspace protect your privacy?
Yeah, so they protect it because the platform itself is encrypted. So it is actually meets the HIPAA compliance standards. So if you are, say, typing out some messages to your therapist and it's going to your therapist, it's all within the platform. All of your information is within this technology that's secure. We do not do anything over, you know, FaceTime or any individual phone calls. It's all within this platform that is devised specifically for this purpose.
You know, I was looking at your website, and I was very impressed with, you know, how much it costs. And I think this is a really big point, because a lot of people say, well, you know, talking to a therapist costs a lot of money. Some people may or may not have that on their health insurance plan. And currently, the plans, according to the website, range from $65 to $100 a week, which sounds to me to be quite reasonable. Is any of this covered by insurance in a big way?
It is. We are starting to have insurance coverage. We're growing every day in that area. And so if you are choosing to sign up, that is in your best interest to find that out. And we'll be able to talk you through that, because a lot of it is. But it is also definitely much more affordable than going and paying full price within the more traditional platform, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, generally speaking, I'm just really curious now, and I know that all of my listeners are curious about Talkspace. Right now, currently, is it more men or women? Is there like a gender specificity? I bet a lot of guys out there are wondering, you know, is it just all a bunch of women, or are men seeking help too? What's going on?
It's an interesting question. Traditionally in therapy over the years, more women are users and consumers of therapy. And we see similar trends here at Talkspace. So there are generally a few more women, but that is certainly growing. And I think that for myself personally, I have had more men on the platform as clients than I've ever had in a private practice. And I was working 20 years in private practice before I came to Talkspace. And I think that speaks to the security and the comfort level. I think it speaks to just being able to feel more, sort of understand what therapy is. I think that one of the things we've been able to do is sort of demystify what happens in that therapy room. You can come in at a reasonable rate and be able to try it. And the other point I think is that's pretty interesting, that I'm interested in continuing to see, is that what we've seen since March is that there's some trends, but there's men, women, couples, young adults, old adults, everybody is using the service. And so we're really seeing an increase in every single demographic.
You're kidding me. Really? You're seeing, you know, like a span of ages. So you have, when you say older adults, you're talking about people who are 70 or what?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Definitely over 65 when I mean older. And then we also see teenagers. So we see 13 and older. So some therapists have a teenager, an adolescent specialty. We're seeing just a range. And we're also seeing several thousands of clients who have not attempted therapy before, have never tried therapy, but they're experiencing anxiety and stress in ways that they've never experienced before for the first time. And so a lot of new users as well as return users.
Very, very interesting. And then at the same time, are men's and women's issues different? Or is this an amalgam of the same kind of thing? Do you see that men skew more toward what? And women, what? I'm just really interested in knowing this, because this is really a new kind of forum, and I'm fascinated with who would be attracted to utilizing this.
I know, and you know, honestly, so it's hard to say, because it is really varied reasons, with a predominant reason being right now the chief complaint is anxiety. Is that anxiety associated with stress? 60% of our data, or our recent data is over 60% since March, have named depression as their primary challenge coming in. A lot of relationship problems. So we don't really have specific items as for what men and women right now are dealing with, except for the fact that there are both, and it's mostly anxiety and depression. Historically on the platform, men have skewed toward really seeking out short-term solution-focused cognitive behavioral therapy. So more interested in really some coming in and saying, listen, this is my problem. I am looking for a solution. I want to learn some coping skills. I want to learn some tools that I want to walk away with in X amount of time. And women are more apt to sort of explore and process a little bit more, although that's true for both sexes as well. But I think that one of the things that has also been really apparent is that we offer both of those. So when you come into therapy, you don't necessarily have to state all of your feelings and all of the things that have gone on since childhood and sort of sort through all of these things. It really can be like, hey, listen, I'm having some problems with insomnia. I can't sleep. I can't concentrate. I need some help. I need some coping tools. And those sort of concrete behavioral skills are just as valid and valuable and can be met. So it really depends on what it is that you're looking to get out of therapy.
Huh. And how long do people classically stay in therapy?
Typically, it's 3 to 6 months. And we see that about on the platform as well. Around 6 months, 3 to 6 months. Again, there are variations. I've had some clients for years. I've had some clients that, you know, are really feel good about the progress they've made in 3 months. So depends on the chief complaint that they come in with. But the telehealth platform really mirrors and reflects what is historically been true for regular outpatient therapy as well.
Really? Fascinating. And do people circle back? So if they circle back, can they ask for the same therapist again?
Absolutely. They circle back all the time. They can message the client, the therapist directly. The therapist can get them set up directly. So that is another real asset, I think. We definitely see return clients.
Oh, how lovely. I love that. It's interesting. I was thinking about, you know, the latest surveys that have shown that it's the younger people as well as the older people who are feeling more aloneness and isolation. Are you seeing some of that as well skewing in your own client profile? People really looking at isolation as a significant and loneliness as a significant reason why they call you up?
Absolutely. Some of our statistics show that for women over 50 coming in, their predominant challenge is feeling lonely, feeling isolated. And then also same though for a 20s and late teens, that's showing in that data as well. And I think what we're also seeing, so there's numbers, and then we're seeing anecdotally also senses of loneliness, even when folks are jammed together with their families in the same household over the last 3 months, although that's now starting to lift, but just feeling disconnected because their routines, the people they would normally see aren't, they're not able to see and they're not present with them. And so loneliness is a pretty huge predominant factor over the population of clients in general.
Very interesting. And with all of the political craziness going on out there, you know, everything from protests to riots to everything happening out there, are you seeing any spillover from that too? I'm thinking there's got to be a tremendous amount of frustration, disappointment, anger. What do you think?
Disappointment, anger, frustration, and it really ramps up anxiety. Things feel unstable for a lot of folks. They're really frustrated. It feels they're very sensitive to news and information. People are really scared. And so that is definitely a cause of conversation with existing clients, as well as we're finding folks coming in who are also saying this is just feels it's completely overwhelming and really, really stressful and scary.
Do you think people are feeling traumatized?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're seeing vulnerable populations who, if you've had previous trauma, this is definitely going to be a trigger for you. And it is very difficult. We're seeing visuals. We're hearing so much information all the time. So that's called vicarious trauma. So if you're watching something happen and you're not present, but you're watching the trauma happen, so that is happening. That is probably the most vulnerable of folks who have been through trauma before, and now they're seeing it played out in front of themselves again.
Yeah, I was thinking about whether or not this is triggering, you know, to a lot of people who have had tough times in the past, and now here we are, and this is, you know, there's so many different things that can end up triggering you. Are you seeing that?
So many. And it really leads to other conversations. And, you know, in general, they're just the advice that I'm given often, and our therapists are given often, is really how to manage the influx of information and, you know, intentionally taking in news instead of allowing the news to sort of consume you. And that's just, it's really hard. It's a really challenging time.
Huh. Very, very interesting. And do you think that because of people like Michael Phelps, who, you know, did that beautiful ad, really sharing in a very human and transparent way that he has anxiety and depression, do you think that people are more willing now to actually accept and admit and share that they have that same problem? Do you think that helped, that maybe this is a different time in history now where people are now open about discussions about mental health?
I really hope so. I do believe so. And I really hope that it continues, that we are open and honest about the fact that our mental health is just as important and as prevalent in our lives, the mental well-being that we need to maintain and our ups and downs, just like our physical health. I think being able to start those conversations with high-profile people who are able to say, yes, you know, I go through these things just like all of you, and being able to open up about that really helps people not feel shame about their experience, because it really is a human experience, our mental health and our mental illnesses like anxiety and depression. And the second piece of that is that, yes, I'm going through this. Yes, it's okay to talk about and get help, because there is help. There are people who can help you. Just if you are going to the doctor and you're getting a prescription for something, you're going to go to therapy and you're going to understand what's going on with your mental health and learn tools to maintain it and feel better.
Huh. Interesting. You know, I've been scrolling through your, when you gave me the link to your blogs, and I was looking through the Talkspace Voice is I believe what you call it. And there's just a wealth of content here that I think is wonderful, including a coronavirus resource. And it's like a hub. And you have all kinds of topics that you deal with, everything from political and social issues, work, financial strain, healthcare, anxiety and stress, social and emotional connection, and then just responses from therapists like yourself who are from around the country, and how they're also navigating this pandemic one way or the other, staying, you know, socially and emotionally connected with their own people. I just think that this resource is wonderful. And then looking at your own blogs here, it looks as though you talk about just about everything here, but what, you know, how to protect your mental health during something called social distancing. How do you do that? Give us some thoughts about that, because I thought that blog was really cool.
Yeah. The social distancing piece.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think that, it is hard right now, because what we are also seeing, I can't remember if it was in that piece or not, but, you know, we have guidelines, but we have just been locked down. And so how do we stay connected? We've sort of just adjusted to, all right, I'm going to create meetings with my family online. I'm going to really feel like I am not becoming an island unto myself, because I need to have this emotional connection. And now, as these things are lifted, as phases across the country are progressing, we're really trying to figure out, okay, so here's the guidelines. How do I manage that gray area? Is it all or nothing? How do I go and talk to my friend who might be on her porch? How do I, you know, have my children play and feel safe, and also feel like I'm respecting other people's values about what makes them feel safe? And it's so individual, and it requires a lot of communication about what you need to socialize and stay connected, how you can do it with others in a way that everybody is comfortable. And that can be a really tricky dynamic. And I think our conversations are going to really continue on about what that means for all of us, because I think it means something a little different, because everybody's comfort level is a little bit different.
I love it. And, you know, I found that your blogs are chock full of really accessible and doable tips. In this one where you were talking about this whole issue of social distancing and isolation and the rest of it, I like this, to mentally prepare. You've got the tips that accentuate the positive. You know, you're finally home, organize, read, rest, cook, play, take advantage of the time this provides. Don't overload on the news. Oh, dear God. I think in the beginning, everyone was in such a state of disbelief. I think people were kind of glommed onto the news because they hoped that maybe by today, everything's cleared up and we can go back. And when it became penultimately clear that was not happening, I think the people really started going down rabbit holes of just like living on the news, and every 5 minutes, it was something new. And then at first we believed one thing about the virus, and whoops, now we've learned something completely different, et cetera. But not overloading on it, I think, was a really smart tip to emphasize, because I think that that's something that can really doomsday people, you know, right through the ceiling. And then the other issue is it won't last forever. You know something? Even the Spanish flu, you know, ended at some point. And as horrific as it was, it did. And, you know, this isn't our first rodeo. Ladies and gentlemen, hello. You know, we've had a lot of viruses out there, you know, H1N1 and avian and the swine flu. And we had SARS-1, and I could go on. The Hong Kong flu. We're getting through these. It's just that I hope to God we're learning something about better hygiene and better preparation. And I hope we discover, please, the global sources of all of this, everything from wet markets to, you know, what we do with animals and the climate and whatever. But, you know, I like those three, you know, tips that you gave. And then organizing yourself and your tribe, I really love this. So I'm going to say the three tips, just run through them, because I think they're really cool. Set a schedule, be social virtually, and stay busy.
Yeah, right. And that takes, so those are really important, because the reason it's so difficult for us is because we take comfort in our routine. And when that routine is taken away from us and we didn't have control over that, it was done to us, it's sort of, we sort of are stunned. And it really does spike anxiety and depression. And so how do you manage that? Well, you try to change your mind frame and say, okay, well, this is what I do have. What can I do? I need to shift gears mentally. I can create a structure for my day. I can put a rhythm and a new structure in place. I have that ability, whether that is with my work, with family, with myself. If I'm eating and sleeping around the same times, I'm going to create a rhythm that still feels comfortable to me. I'm going to get everybody on the same page. That's sort of the organize the tribe piece of, all right, if I have to work and do such and such, I need us all to know where all these moving parts are, and we're all going to come together at these parts of the day. We're going to eat lunch together maybe, or we're going to eat dinner together, and we're all going to be able to gather together and process what's going on, chat about how we're all doing, and really remain connected internally, and then schedule those times. Be really intentional about that, because especially for a while there, everybody was so overwhelmed. It's easy to just sort of go task after task instead of, okay, I'm going to take out my calendar. I'm going to be really intentional about calling a family member, getting together, calling a friend, and integrating the things that we would normally do in, you know, pre-COVID life, where we might stop and chat, we might drive by, we might see somebody on the street, and we're not having those walking, casual conversation meets. So we really need to be intentional about how we do that. And I think hopefully some of those skills, as you were saying, hopefully we've learned something both about the how to manage that, but also about ourselves. How, you know, what makes us feel good? How much socialization makes us feel good? And how do we make sure and take good care of those pieces of ourselves in an intentional way?
Okay, now, you say that social isolation doesn't have to mean emotional isolation, and how important it is to stay connected now in the best way you can. And, you know, this is a time to bump up live video and FaceTime calls, be present with your loved ones as best you can. Now, you mentioned a Talkspace free online support group. Can you please tell us what that is?
Yes. So we have right now 5 Facebook support groups that are free that you simply join, and they are moderated by our clinical leads, experts who are coming in and providing resources and really maintaining a safe space so people can connect with one another about what they're feeling. They are dedicated to folks feeling anxiety, to folks feeling super lonely and feeling isolated, relationship stress, if you're enduring, whether that's parent-child or between couples. And then we also have one dedicated to folks who are experiencing trauma because racial trauma because of the cultural events that are going on. So we have that support group as well. And it's just a great space to go in and feel emotionally connected to like-minded individuals within your community that are experiencing the same thing. Or similar.
I see. So that's a really cool resource that people can avail themselves of, which I think makes this whole, you know, talk space kind of resource even better, because you have a chance to be able to feel as though you're not alone when there's a support group there.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's a support group. That's very cool.
When there are 1,000 other people, right, or 400 other people, right, like, oh, I'm not the only one that's really struggling here and dealing with this.
Uh-huh. Now, what if someone has, like, big-time psychological issues? Do you have psychiatrists on staff?
We do. We have over 25 states now. I think, you know, it might be more than that. I can actually go back and get that number, but we are growing rapidly and we have psychiatry services as well. And that is something that is, you know, something that's really exciting to be a part of, because I know from being in the field that it's really hard to get connected without a wait list to a prescriber. So, and there's a way for the therapist and the prescriber to collaborate, although you don't have to be in therapy to actually get prescription services. So that is also something that is really exciting.
Oh, okay. So basically, you all work as a team there. So you may
There's
be working with someone.
Teamwork.
Exactly. All right. So you're obviously teaming up then potentially with a psychiatrist if someone does have need for prescriptions. At the same time, they're also getting their therapy and counseling. So that's very cool. I love it. So, you know, ever since I learned about Talkspace, I've actually been referring people to it. I think it's a marvelous resource. And go figure, it couldn't have happened at a better time. You know, it's virtual. And so by definition, so would you call this a form of telemedicine?
Definitely. Yeah, telehealth, telebehavioral health. So telehealth, I guess, more than telemedicine, although we are doing telemedicine with our psychiatry services. I think just semantics at that point, but definitely telehealth, telebehavioral health.
I just love it. This is fantastic. So this kind of resource I wanted every single one of my listeners to know about, to be fully aware of, because I think that this is going to end up being very important to so many people who may be running into some big problems here or already have but have been hesitant to reach out to get help. I think that at least contacting Talkspace and beginning the process and beginning to also appreciate the tools, techniques, and the people, the professionals who may be able to help them. I think that that's going to be a new journey for a lot of people. And I think it's one well worth exploring and looking into. And I'm just really, quite frankly, happy it's there. So thank you so much for helping us understand all things Talkspace. We've been talking to Dr. Amy Serbus, and she is the Director of Clinical Content at Talkspace. And Talkspace is the leading online therapy platform. And all you have to do is go to Talkspace, that's TalkSpace, Talkspace.com, and learn all about, just, you know, kind of get started. Just click onto that little get started and learn all about your options, opportunities, and possibilities for getting the kind of mental health support you need, especially in these very, very trying times. Amy, I want to thank you so much for being on the Herb Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It really was a pleasure. I just love being able to share here and to share about Talkspace and to connect. I appreciate it.
And keep up your wonderful work, because you know something? Boy, we need resources like Talkspace and professionals like yourself. So keep it going. Now, everyone out there, take a minute to hit the iTunes and rate and review the show, because I want to hear your thoughts about this. Have any of you used Talkspace? What was that experience like? Or are you interested now that you even know there is a resource? Pretty cool stuff, right? Well, I know these things because, well, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her Podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every single episode of the Her Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today. Stay safe and stay well.